Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 22nd, 2011, episode 211, sponsored today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Glenn,
good morning, Jamie.
Hold up. I think I was wrong. It's Monday morning. I make a mistake right off the bat. Isn't it today sponsored by Omega Alpha?
Yes, it is. It's Monday.
I'm sorry.
I think there was a mistake there in show notes, too. So it's Monday, you know? Things like that happen.
I'm like,
sorry,
oh,
Dr.
I've already
Chang.
Screwed up. It's 5 seconds in, and I've already screwed up. Oh, my God. So, okay, so today is sponsored by Omega Alpha. Carry on, Glenn.
All right. Do you want to just start over and play the whole thing, or are we good now?
We're live, so we're good.
Okay. See, that's a disadvantage to the live show. All the other shows, I can edit that stuff out. We can start over. Helene and I, we must do 55 takes. But
you're like, cut.
Yeah, that's right. You can't do that with this show. It's tough stuff. Well, I got so much to talk about today. We were watching the Friends Barn over the weekend. We got some stories from there I got to tell you about, and some things that you better darn well fix. Because let me tell you, there were some interesting things that happened and some horses that got hurt. We're gonna talk about that. Some cautions with trailering horses. Goes back to, remember we did a trailering episode a while back where we had a guy on talking about what proper trailering or whatever? Well,
do we need a refresher course for you?
No, we need a refresher course for the people out there who are hauling horses that don't think before they haul.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we need to do that. And then I know you were out horse shopping over the weekend. We have to talk about that. And we have some guests. So let's find out from Jennifer what's coming up, and then we'll get caught up on our weekend.
Press the button,
Jennifer?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition. The United States Pony Club has once again offered up a sacrificial pony clubber to stop by this morning and provide a bit of young rider news. This time, Rowdy is here with the real story of the recent Junior Young Rider Championships held right here in Lexington, Kentucky. And with a name like Rowdy, there's a lot of pressure for this young person to be entertainingly high energy. So if you're listening in already this morning, Rowdy, go get yourself another Mountain Dew. And, of course, we will be catching up with the weekend shenanigans from Glenn and Jamie, and I'm sure as well from many of our listeners who were up to good or no good, and they'll be bringing us up to date via Facebook, I'm sure, so stay tuned.
You know, you think after 211 episodes we'd all know how to do this, you know, remember to turn our mics on and actually talk and get the right ads, but no, we all just, you know, I've been doing this for 3 years, and we still mess up things, and it's just like, okay, well, I guess, you know, that's going to happen forever. We're human, too.
Whatever.
My Daily Winnie goes out to a new name that I don't remember seeing on our Facebook page before. She posted on Friday after Friday's show, after the really bad ads, and it was from Chloe. Is it Reiserman, you think? Reiserman?
Yeah.
She says, your show kept me and my husband laughing. I love the ads. I love your show a lot. Thank you. Well, we love you, Chloe, and thank you so much for listening. And another guy, her husband, listens too. How about that? We have something I'm going to talk to you about, too, that'll help the guys out. It's a little seminar that's being put on, and I thought we'd tell you a little bit about that to help the horse husbands out there.
Yeah. It's really a public service announcement that you're going to give, and I do appreciate it because it's a public service announcement for men, but all in all, it is really helping women. So definitely stick around for that. Probably have that at the end of the show, most likely.
All right, good.
Good. I'm going to have to get another puppy, Glenn. I'm going to have to get another puppy.
What, 12 isn't enough?
I'm going to get another puppy, and I'm going to name this one instead of my, you know, because I do have a puppy named Zenyatta. I'm going to have to get a puppy and name it See You at Peeler's 22 for 22. She was unbelievable this weekend. Now, the video is posted up on our Facebook page. Thanks so much to Don Deems for doing that. But, my God. You want to see the commanding performance by CU at Peeler's. Again, she's 22 for 22, but she was going for it. And I'm sorry. Just, you know, and I'm not that knowledgeable about standardbred racing and especially pacers, but I know they're faster than trotters and they have a lot more stamina than thoroughbreds. And she goes out there and she just crushes everybody. I mean, it wasn't, and I stopped, I watched it a couple times, like trying to compare her to the other pacers that are out there. She just outclassed them all. I mean, head up and going the entire time, and all of the rest are just trying to, you know, get a view of her tail. So it was just an amazing performance. See you at Peeler's, 22 for 22. I'm going to have to get a new dog.
See you at Peeler's. I love it. I love that that horse is doing so well, you know, and really has passed Zenyatta at this point if you go for a race record. 22 for 22, and this was a $350,000 race, so there was a few bucks won on that race. Good for them.
Yeah, you know what? The difference between thoroughbred and standardbred is now See You at Peeler's at 22 for 22 has won like $750,000. And at this point, at 19 and 19, Zenyatta had $7.5 million. So
yeah, that's a
little
big difference.
Bit different in the prize money for sure.
It was interesting, though, when we talked to Bo last week when we were over at Ada, from Back on Track Products, and he was involved in racing over in Europe, how big this kind of race, how big, you know, the racing is over there. It's almost bigger than thoroughbred racing, the pacers. So
we'll have to play the interview with him this week, because since it's kind of topical.
Yeah, we definitely will. We'll play that on Wednesday. We did a little interview with him, and he talked about racing over there and how popular pacing is. So it is very popular over there. And he's also friends with the trainer here. He grew up in the same area as the trainer. All right. My question of the day, Jennifer, is thanks to Joy Wagner-Smith for posting on our Facebook page. She said, my husband and I are taking a road trip starting in Lexington next month. Of course, we're going to visit the horse park, but looking for other suggestions of what to do in the area. Also, suggestions of places to stay that allow pets, one very small key. Well, I did respond to that on the Facebook page, but we're also looking for your help of things that you like to do. Most of you, or a lot of you anyway, that are listening out there today have been to Lexington, come to Lexington on an occasion, and you have your things that you like to do when you're here. So we'd like to hear your input, and I'm sure Joy would as well. I posted the place to stay, I think, is the La Quinta, which is very close to the horse park, but also allows pets. I know that because we actually stayed there the first time we came to Lexington. So check that out. So what things do you recommend when she comes in, Jamie?
Okay, Joy, first of all, La Quinta is his hotel suggestion. Let me go ahead and say that the Marriott downtown is a fabulous place to stay.
Yeah, but I don't know that they allow pets.
I don't know either, but who cares, because the hotel is nice. and
I agree that
kitty.
There are a lot nicer hotels, but the pet thing sort of limits your limit.
female. But you know what? If you have one small kitty, you can sneak that in.
Sneak it in.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
You can sneak in a cat. It's not like you have a Rottweiler. Ma'am, why is your pocketbook meowing?
Yeah, so the maid takes it home with her.
It's my ringtone. Okay, so the things that I definitely suggest when you go to Lexington, and again, listeners who haven't been, post what you would want to do if you go there. You've got to go to Keeneland. Excuse me. And Keeneland might not be open, but I highly suggest going at like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and driving in through the grandstands and going in and watching the horses exercise. It is the coolest thing. And Keeneland is such hallowed ground, and it's so fantastically gorgeous. And it's just fun to watch the horses galloping. You kind of get a behind-the-scenes look at the racing world. The other thing is you have to go to Ramsey's and get a hot brown. Got to go to Ramsey's. Another thing you have to do is, what else I was thinking? Well, Red Mile. Red Mile Racetrack is kind of fun, too. It's a standardbred track, and they don't always have standardbred racing, but they usually have something fun on the weekends going on, so that would be another suggestion. How'd I do?
There you go. I agree with all of those.
I keep
thinking
up more stuff.
Yeah. Also, we recommend that you take one of the farm tours. It's worth getting on the little van and taking the farm tour, because they tell you the stories of the farms, and you'll get to see probably farms that you wouldn't just driving around yourself. So it's much more interesting to take one of the farm tours. There's one that leaves from the horse park, and there's also a couple of others. Bluegrass Tours has one that leaves from downtown. So one of the farm tours is definitely interesting. If you're into history at all, Shaker Village is absolutely beautiful. That's about 20 miles south of town, and it's worth a day trip down there, and it's just pretty and beautiful. And we were just down there a couple weeks ago. And then Jennifer, I saw, made a suggestion, too. There's a lot of places around here we can do trail rides, and one of those places is Shaker Village. They have a, I forget what the name of that place is down there, but people have gone down and ridden down there and loved it. It's a horse rental place. There's like, 30 or 40 miles of trails through
Shaker Village property? Shaker Village itself, it's a nature preserve where you're riding. So it's somewhere around 3,000 acres of open, rolling countryside. And if you ever want to go somewhere in this part of the country and not see any vestige of modern society, you can go to Shaker Village and go for a trail ride. It's just inspiring. It really is.
So there's a bunch of suggestions, and we want the rest of your suggestions up there for Joy on the Facebook page. We'd be happy to see those pop in there. Well,
absolutely.
You went horse shopping this weekend, right?
I did, so I got to have the Daily Winnie music whenever you're ready.
Oh, okay.
The Daily Winnie. Okay, a little bit of backstory is I talked about when I drove with my girlfriend all the way to Fresno, California, which, excuse me, for me, is about a 15-hour drive. And we went up there to search for one horse. And it was for my friend Joanna. And Joanna, we got up there, and the place was a nightmare. The place was an absolute nightmare, but we found a diamond in the rough and thought, you know, he's lame, he's angry, but probably he just needs a little bit of rest and maybe some Gastroguard, and we brought him home. Again, if you want to hear that, it's back in the archives. It was a disaster. I think it was in February or January. Anyway, so we went and we picked up this horse from Fresno, brought it back, and thought, you know, at least we've saved him and we can do something with him. And if it doesn't work out for you, Joanna, we'll keep looking. So I've been riding this horse that we've named Genesis because he got a bit of a rebirth and a new life. So Genesis is the horse that we bought for Joanna. Well, Genesis has not worked out for Joanna because he is a little too much horse, but he's fantastic for me. I love riding this horse, Genesis. He's this big, gray, Irish warm blood, they call him an Irish sport horse, and he's phenomenal. I actually took some videos of him on my iPhone of me riding him this weekend, so we need to post those, that YouTube channel. Unfortunately, he is going to have to be for sale because I can't have every horse. Glenn, you'd be proud of me, although I will totally cry when I sell him because he's so much fun to ride.
I'm just watching one of your videos here. Is that him actually doing a half pass?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Glenn, this horse is phenomenal. No spurs, no whip. I am getting him to half pass at the trot, half pass at the canter. I'm getting flying tempi changes off of him, and I started teaching him yesterday. You'll see, I got four. They're pretty pitiful, but four steps of passage off of him this weekend. He's phenomenal. I have so much fun riding this horse, but he's not for the weak of the faint of heart. You know what I mean? Like, he's definitely a forward moving horse. But if you know a little dressage, he's way fun to ride because you can do, you know, your shoulders in, your haunches in, your half pass. I've got a little bit of a canter pirouette F off of him. He's amazing, but he just needs a stronger rider. And, yes, this is the arena down the street from my house. It's not mine.
I was going to say, where did the arena come from? I missed that.
Oh, it's so nice. It's so nice. It's at a friend of mine's place. Anyway, so that horse did not work out for Joanna, and we've been looking for her a horse for months and months and months. And finally this weekend, I had heard about it. I took her to ride it. Actually, at my trainer's place, I was at a riding lesson a couple weeks ago, and this girl says, hey, I've got a horse that does lower-level dressage and trail rides, and I'm looking to find a place to lease her. And I want her back when she gets too old, because I'll do all her care, taking care of her in her older age, but she's 17 years old, and she's, like, super quiet, and she can't jump anymore. And I'm like, okay, that is exactly what my friend Joanne is looking for. So I matched them up this weekend. They fell in love, and Chloe is now in my backyard. Yay! Joanna got a horse!
Oh, good! That's
do you know how excited that makes me? Because that means I can stop freaking looking at horses. My God, I've seen so many. However, when you get a horse for a free lease, I kind of screwed myself out of commission. Like, didn't you get 10% of the original purchase price? It's pretty standard. There was no purchase price. So, yeah, no commission for me on that one, but it makes me happy to see my friend happy.
That's good. And you can stop horse shopping now. But then we don't have all the good stories on Monday.
No, I have another student who wants to start looking in September. So don't you worry. It all starts over again soon. But if anybody wants to be interested in Genesis, he is for sale.
He'll be, you can find him in a really bad ad on Craigslist.
Exactly.
We were watching a friend's barn over the weekend, and so we started on, she left Friday morning, and we were there Friday night doing the barn. There was about 25 horses there, some inside, some outside, a little bit of both. So, and it was kind of fun to get out over the weekend and actually, you know, take care of a big barn again. That brought back memories. And, you know, by the end of the weekend, we decided that we didn't want a big barn again, and really didn't want to do, we don't miss it all that much. We really like boarding our horse. So
seriously?
I could see having our own place again where it's just our horses, a couple of them in the backyard, you know, kind of like you do, where you don't have too many. But, you know, when you start getting over, we always found the number, and other people are going to relate to this if you have big barns. Once you get over seven horses, the work just triples and quadruples. You know, you would think that when you go from 7 to 14, it doubles. It doesn't. It's like 10 times the work. For some reason, it just is that way.
Really?
And, you know, she has a lot of horses there. Well, we were getting wrapped up on Friday night, and we get a call that there were four horses coming in, new boarders coming into the place. Okay, people, go back to the trailering lessons that we did on the show a while back, because we get a call. Yeah, we get a call that says, you know, one of the horses is right now walking on the highway, along the highway on I-75.
Oh, God.
Okay. Why is the horse walking along the highway on I-75? Because we had a little problem with the trailer. We're bringing the other one over now. So this trailer pulls in. It looks like it was something out of Really Bad Ads, by the way. So this trailer pulls in, and there's one horse in it. And they get this horse out, and the horse is three-legged lame and looks like it had been beat up with a baseball bat. Come to discover that what happened while they were trailering the horse in this tiny little two-horse trailer that looks like it was on really bad ads, with, like, no divider between the horses, is the one horse fell down and ended up underneath the other horse, laying underneath the other horse on its side. So the other horse, you know, was freaking out and stepping all over this horse. So by the time they figured out something was wrong in the trailer, they pulled off the highway, they got the other horse out, but they knew they couldn't put him back in the trailer together again. So he ended up walking the horse on the highway during while delivering the other horse and then going back. So that was all very interesting. And then, you know, they had to get a vet out for this horse, and they didn't have anything on the trailer to stop bleeding. So there were a couple lessons that we learned through all of this. One is, if you have a two-horse trailer, have a divider that goes to the floor. Remember we talked about that. So at least if the horse had fallen down, it wouldn't have went underneath the other one, which is exactly what happened here.
My God.
Yeah. So and the horse that was hurt was three-legged lame. I mean three-legged lame. Had cuts, you know, little cuts everywhere. And then half its face was droopy, like paralysis on the left side of its face. So there was some nerve damage there. Yeah, something damaged there. I was hoping it wasn't a stroke, you know, at that point, because these are older horses. So they got the vet out, and the horse is fine. I mean, well, not fine. It's not out of the woods yet, but they didn't think that the leg was broken. The other leg had something wrong with it that they're dealing with, and the horse has been, or the vet's been out every day since then dealing with these horses. And the paralysis he was a little worried about because it could have been nerve damage and might affect his eyes. So it was just a mess. So the takeaways we got from this is make sure you have a useful vet kit. All they had was saline solution in the truck. That was it.
Okay.
They didn't have anything to stop bleeding. No bandages.
If that's what you got out of that. Okay. I have a couple questions. Okay. So was this somebody that... were they hauling their own horses, or was somebody hauling the horses for them?
And that's the other thing. This was a friend that was hauling the horses because it had, you know, the poor guy, he had to move the horses quickly, and I won't go into all that. But, you know, it was one of those situations that just happened, and it turned out terrible. So, you know, another thing I would take away from that is try to get a more professional hauler instead of somebody. It was just a bad situation all the way around, and I'm not going to get into all the details, but it was just bad all the way around. Definitely have something for, and Jennifer says it well, for catastrophes when hauling. We have had horses go down in our trailer, and we had a horse end up upside down one time where we had to literally drag the horse out of the trailer. You know, but if you've got a horse that ends up cut and bleeding in a trailer, you've got to have, you know, you've got to have bandaging there. You've got to have stuff ready to go when you're hauling horses, because horses will try and hurt themselves. We've talked about that before. It's one of the things they're best at. And, you know, these horses definitely tried to hurt themselves. It was just not a good situation all the way around. So that was the beginning of our weekend. Fortunately, the rest of the weekend went better than that. It really did.
Okay. But again, so here's the argument that I see coming up is like, oh, I can't afford to pay a professional horse hauler. Well, think of how much money you just spent on vet bills, because you just about killed your horse, completely irresponsible. And it sounds like, did they have another important fact is it, or something to do would be to have some bedding in the trailer, because if you put a horse in a trailer that's moving around on a rubber mat or a wooden floor. It's very slick. So what you're going to need to do is have some shavings in there and some deeper bedding. That's really frustrating. I hate to hear that. And then, okay, it is never, ever a good idea to unload a horse on the side of a freeway.
Well, I think they didn't have a choice in that. The other horse literally
case,
stomped to death.
Yeah, they didn't have a choice in this case.
Yeah.
They had to get that horse off because the other one was literally laying underneath the horse getting stomped.
Yeah, the horse that was being stomped had hoof prints on its body. It was being stomped to death because it slid down, and then, of course, the other horse went, oh, my God, there's something under me that's moving. and just totally lost its cookies. You know, and I don't, you know, with the professional hauler, I think a lot of people, it never even occurs to them that, you know, if you go online or the Yellow Pages or whatever, there are professional haulers in most major horse metropolitan areas, and it's not nearly as expensive as you think to haul down the road an hour like this situation was. Yes, it costs a lot of money to travel from New Jersey to California, but to go 45 minutes down the road to the next town might make a whole lot more sense financially than you think it does.
Well, and especially in Lexington, and I must tell you that this is probably very irresponsible of me, but when I moved my horse, my warm blood, from Atlanta to Phoenix, I opened up a credit card and then paid for his hauling through the new credit card.
I'll bet you we have lots of listeners who have done the same thing.
I bet.
I did, because I'm like, okay, if I drive this horse for 4 days, I mean, if I drive him, it's going to take me a lot longer because I'm going to go a lot slower and I'm going to stop a lot more. And I was moving in with my man, Chad, and I was in a hurry to get on to the other side of the country. So I thought, you know, I'm ready to go. I want to get there quick. And the other thing is, you know, finding a place at night to stop over with your horse is a pain. And a professional company has layover spots. And he got to layover for an entire weekend in Dallas. So, I mean, it's just a great situation. I paid off the credit card, and then I closed it. It might have taken me a little longer than anticipated, but I did it.
Like most credit cards.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? If you open one up, they usually give you the first couple months with no interest. Hello. So there you go. Tip of the day. Open up a credit card, have your horse shipped, and then close it and pay it off.
Well, we're starting to get some suggestions in here for the things to do in Lexington. And I appreciate Michelle and Rochelle. Their comments were, go see Glenn and Jen. Well, I appreciate that, but I don't think that's going to help Joy much. And the pub was an idea. The pub, we do love the pub. I do love the pub here. It's down south of town, and it is a great place to eat. Love, love, love their Jennifer loves their fish and chips at the pub. She absolutely loves her fish and chips. And our other things, of course, the horse park. And
oh, I'm putting in jalapenos.
Jalapenos, yeah.
On the north side of New Circle.
You got to go to the kitschy Mexican place, jalapenos for sure. And you know what? Rowdy's going to be coming up here in a couple of minutes. And she was just in here for the Young Riders. Let's ask Rowdy what she likes to do when she comes to Lexington. So we'll add her to that list, too. And I did just notice one thing, and it looks like Joy said she's going to be coming in about a month. If you're coming in during the month of September, let me see here. Nope, if you're coming in during the month of October, racing is happening at Keeneland from October 7th through the 29th. So if you're here during the race meet, you can catch a race there. That you definitely want to do, but you're going to have to buy yourself a nice hat because you can't go to Keeneland. They will not let you in the gate unless you have a big fancy hat. It's just not allowed.
It's so nice there. It's so beautiful. It is just
especially
awesome.
Especially in the fall. The fall like that, it is pretty. It's just, and then if you do that, you have to do what Jamie said. And during the race meet on Saturdays and Sundays, they have breakfast at Keeneland, and you have to go out early in the morning and you can watch the horses run and eat breakfast there. We try and do that at least once during every meet. It's just something you have to do. It's required.
Okay, I want to come back. I'm ready to come back to Lexington.
You ready? You got to come during Got to come during October during the race meet.
Oh, I know. I'll see you in the spring.
All right, let's do our commercial here, and then we'll go to our first guest of the day, and then we have something special coming up later in the show that we have a congratulations to give, and that's all we're going to say. But it's a big deal. So we have that coming up later in the show as well. But first, today is sponsored by what company, Jamie?
Today is sponsored by our friends at Omega Alpha.
That's right. It's sponsored by Omega Alpha, and we appreciate them. And we had fun talking to Dr. Chang last week, and we hope you had fun hearing him. But today, let's take a listen to Jessica Phoenix. And we're going to be right back after that with a young rider you're going to want to hear from. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And one of their users is international Canadian sensation event rider Jessica Phoenix. And we have Jessica on here for a second to tell us what she thinks about Omega Alpha. Well, hi, Jess. I hear that you use Omega Alpha.
I do. I love their products. I've started using them this year, and the one product that I really love is Anti-Flam. It just takes the sting out of the horse's feet and keeps them moving comfortably, and I know that from using it in our barn, a lot of horses have benefited from it.
You can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
And we have our next guest on the phone right now, and it is Rowdy Joe Adams. And Rowdy, first of all, that might be one of the coolest names ever, but Rowdy was a pony clubber and a young rider, and was it was the two-star division at the Young Riders this past month, but I believe it that she's been to Lexington recently as well. So first of all, let's say good morning to Rowdy. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you? Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, no, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, kind of introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we'll get to talking about horses.
Okay. I am Rowdy Joe Adams. I'm 15 years old, originally from Dallas, Texas, and I recently relocated this year to the East Coast and spent 6 months in Florida training and moved to Virginia May 1st, and I've been loving it ever since. And I am homeschooled.
Who are you training with?
I train with the O'Connor Event Team.
Okay, I was going to say, if you're in Florida and then you're up in Virginia, that would lead me to believe that you are riding with Karen and David. How is that?
It is an unbelievable experience. It's being around such great girls. Hannah and Lauren are just unbelievable. Such top-class people, and just being able to watch them interact and being in the barn, and, of course, watching Karen and David ride as many horses as they do every day, and it's just so, you've just learned so much here, and I am so thankful for the opportunity to be here.
Well, we had Max on our show on Friday. Of course, Max is
head
groom.
I love watching Max, and she can get quite a... She doesn't get quite annoyed with me, but I can ask some of the weirdest questions sometimes. What's that about? What's this about?
Well, I was telling her after our interview, she wrote the most amazing, informative article on fitting your tack and everything. So I would imagine that hanging around Max, you can certainly learn a lot.
Absolutely. I learned so much from, I've never experienced the one-day events before. Coming from Texas, everything's 3 hours away, maybe farther. And so our first one-day event, I just went and groomed for the very first one, so I wasn't competing there. And I just literally sat there and watched Max in awe how she does it all by herself, just whipping horses in and out, like, and everything's so organized all the time. And I was like, wow, I'm definitely in the right place. And it was so great. And so now I've just become so much more organized from her, watching how she packs and stuff like that.
So you are 15 years old, and you said you're homeschooled, and you're up there. So I'm assuming you spent the winter in Florida with them, and then now you're in Virginia. Where are your parents?
My parents are in Texas. I live with my grandma up here.
Oh, okay.
And my mom frequently comes up to visit.
That's a sweet deal.
And a drive,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So you were able to kind of go relocate with your grandma and be able to ride the horses up there with the O'Connors. So that's really cool. So tell us about your horse.
His name is No Money Down, a.k.a. Boxer. I got him, well, my mom got him off the track about 5 years ago. We got him for free because nobody else wanted him. And he was just a scrawny little guy, and we wanted to see if he could make into a fox hunter. So we jumped him, and he actually was quite good. And we tried fox hunting with him, and he just absolutely could not handle it and was like, I can't do this. So we tried to give him away because I was still, I'm like 5'8" now, and I was probably 5 foot. I was really small. And even though he's not the biggest thoroughbred, it's still an off-the-track thoroughbred was going to be a bit much for me. I was still on ponies. And so we tried to give him away to a few people, and nobody would take him for free. Nobody. Nobody wanted him. So we decided, all right, well, let's go ahead and I'll ride him. And I got eliminated in my first three events with him, either with the dressage or the show jumping or the state or the cross country.
Jamie, you're really
we weren't liking this, the beginner novice. And then all of a sudden something clicked, and he has become an absolute superstar in all three phases and just loves it.
Okay, hold up. So there's hope for me.
There is hope.
So you were that guy like I was. I took my little off-the-track thoroughbred to his first beginner novice event a couple weeks ago, and there's always that one person in the warm-up who is, like, completely out of control and has
that
look of panic. That was me. I get it. So there's hope for me. My horse could be, you know, a two-star horse. Because now, tell everybody how far you've taken. First of all, by the way, No Money Down is a great name for a free thoroughbred. I mean, that's awesome.
That's a good point.
You got him for
my
free.
My dad got it from the Chuck Berry song, No Money Down. That's one of his favorite songs.
That's great. So again, tell us how far you've come with No Money Down.
We have come such a long way coming from getting eliminated or having at least four stops at a log on the ground to completing the CCI two-star championships at Young Riders this year and finishing fourth in the top five. Just 0.1 from third.
Wow. So what is he like on cross country?
Oh, he is unbelievable. He literally is a point-and-shoot, just rock and roll. As long as you get him there, he's going to more than happy to jump it. And just, he gets this, I just think this is so funny, he gets this crazy look, you know, the eagle eye, as he's going around the start box. And then he just gets this, and he's like, starts prancing around, and he's like, oh, my gosh, here we go. And, like, in the vet box, he still is so excited from cross country. I have to let him. He won't cool down unless you let him graze. So
wow.
I'll be over there. I'll be the one grazing my horse in the vet box. Everyone's like, "Why are you grazing him? He's got to be cooled out." I was like, "He won't cool out until you graze."
Well, you know there are horses like that. So now tell me, you came in here to Lexington, you came to Young Riders, which is a big deal. But you are a pony clubber, right? Which pony club are you part of?
I am part of Rockwall County Pony Club in the Red River region.
Okay. Were you Pony Club 2 in Texas?
Yes. I'm still in my Pony Club in Texas.
Are you? Okay. So you're part of the Pony Club there, and so you're obviously on the eventing track in Pony Club.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy doing all the other ones as well.
Oh, do you?
All the other sports.
That was my next question. Which of the three are the one you dread the most? Is it dressage like most eventers?
No, I actually really like dressage.
Oh, you're sick puppy. What, and do you get picked on a lot for that? Liking dressage?
No. I try not to tell too many people.
Well, nobody knows. Nobody listens to this show, so you're okay. So so you like dressage. You like cross country, obviously. So do you like show jumping too?
Yes, I do. I struggle with that, I think, the most, but we've been working extremely hard on getting that fixed. But I do enjoy show jumping. I enjoy all of it. I love it all.
Well, that's cool. So how has being in Pony Club helped you, you think, to doing as well as you're doing now in Young Riders at age 15?
Yeah. I think with Pony Club, I started out the Pony Club way, I got a really nice position out of it and just learned. And I'm currently, I did my HB last year, and I learned so much about horsemanship and just knowing all the tendons of the leg and the bones and that sort of stuff. It was a huge deal for me, and I think that really helped me. And also the rallies going to all the rallies and being so organized and being so clean all the time. I think that's also helped me with my organization, because people that know me know that I'm not the most organized person in the world. So.
Well, Max will fix that.
Yeah,
Max and
Max
Karen will take care of that. Yeah. So are you still doing Pony Club up in Virginia?
Yes. I haven't done any rallies up here yet, but I do it a lot. I go back to Texas and do some writings back there, like in Rate Kids and sort stuff like that.
That's pretty good. You know, an HB at the age of 15 is not too bad.
Yeah. Well, I think I was 14 last year. I was 14 last year.
Wow. That's even better. So where do you hope? Do you hope to be a professional rider? Do you hope to be beating Karen at Rolex someday?
That's an absolute dream come true, but I really just want to become known and have a reputation to be a great horsewoman and know my stuff. And being on top, I think, will come hopefully with that. But I do want to resemble Karen and David. I watch them like no tomorrow. Watch everything they do and try to copy it.
Well, what a great attitude. And you know what? I got to ask you about your name, because, you know, I have never met a rowdy before.
I got my name. My mom was pregnant with me during the Oklahoma bombing, and there was a firefighter on leave who had broken his shoulder and his collarbone, and he was about one block from it and when it happened. And he went in and saved tons of people, with even though he was on leave, without gear, without anything, and his name was Rowdy.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And mom thought it was cool, so...
That's an incredible story, and I think I kind of remember him too, from back at that time, you know.
Yeah.
His story, because I think he made the news big time back then.
Yeah.
Well, you have a great name for an inventor. I can hear that being announced at Rolex, can't you, Jamie?
Oh, without a doubt, girlfriend.
So.
I'm excited for you. You know, again,
I love
talking to, you know, I'm only a year or two older than you. However, I do love talking to young people that just kind of like make you feel good about the youth in America. You know, like you guys, you hear so many bad things going on, and to talk to a motivated, driven teenager just inspires me. And I'm proud of you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rowdy. We appreciate you being on with us today. Good luck with venting. Good luck with the Pony Club. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon.
No money
down. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you, Rowdy.
Bye.
Hey, say hi to everybody at the O'Connors for us.
I will. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, she was. You're absolutely right. She was kind of inspiring.
I love it. I love it. She's like, I'm learning. I'm watching. She wasn't like... You know, so many of the teenagers, and I was not like this, of course not, but so many teenagers think they know everything. And she's like, no, dude, I'm just going to sit and learn and watch and soak it all up and, like, try to do everything that everybody else is doing. You know, she didn't act like she knew it all. What a great kid. Oh, I love
it. I know. I liked everything about her. Good luck, Rowdy. We'll be rooting for her. See, now we have an adopted young eventer. We have an adopted hometown. We have adopted racehorses. Now we have an adopted young eventer. We're going to have to keep an eye on Rowdy and see how she does.
Yeah,
and,
I was worried sick that at the end of that interview you were going to go, see it, Steelers.
No, I wasn't going
to. No, don't do that.
No, I wasn't. So let's do this. Let's take a break for our song, and then we'll have Jennifer see if she can get our special guest on that we have to give a congratulations to today, and then we'll do some news and some other things. We got to talk about this seminar I was telling you about for the men. Talk about that later on. All right, so. Why don't you tell us about Pocket Stable, and then we'll play our song for the morning.
Okay, well, Pocket Stable is like the coolest iPhone app ever Okay, if you haven't downloaded it, what are you doing? You can keep track of all your horse's information. You know, and knowing most horse people, there's scattered pieces of paper, or you have to call your farrier and go, when was the last time you came out? Because I can't remember. Like me, you know, I had to get all my records together, and I would call the vet and go, when was the last time my horse had his West Nile? Well, I don't have to do that anymore. Because I can keep all of my horse's information in the same place on my app, iPhone app called Pocket Stable. You don't have to have a big box full of junk to tell you when everything was done. The solution is right there on your iPhone, pocketstable.com. You can check it out. It keeps all your horse's information, including vaccines, farriers, dewormings. You can track your horse's weight and keep up with it there. So you can find Pocket Stable in your app store on your iPhone or visit them at pocketstable.com.
All right, this is I'd Rather Run Than Crawl by Templeton Thompson.
Templeton Thompson, I'd Rather Run Than Crawl. And today's show is brought to you by Omega Alpha, omegaalpha.ca. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I am Jamie Jennings, along with Glenn the Geek, and it is that time again, your favorite time of the day. Woohoo! What?
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 44, Old Captain and His Successor. Captain and I were great friends. He was a noble old fellow, and he was very good company. I never thought that he would have to leave his home and go down the hill, but his turn came, and this is how it happened. I was not there, but I heard all about it. He and Jerry had taken a party to the great railway station over London Bridge and were coming back somewhere between the bridge and the monument when Jerry saw a brewer's empty dray coming along, drawn by two powerful horses. The drayman was lashing his horses with his heavy whip. The dray was light, and they started off at a furious rate. The man had no control over them. The street was full of traffic. One young girl was knocked down and run over, and the next moment they dashed up against our cab. Both the wheels were torn off, and the cab was thrown over. Captain was dragged down. The shaft splintered, and one of them ran into his side. Jerry, too, was thrown but was only bruised, and no one could tell how he escaped. He always said 'twas a miracle. When poor Captain got up, he was found to be very much cut and knocked about. Jerry led him home gently, and it was a sad sight it was to see the blood soaking into his white coat and dropping from his side and shoulder. The drayman was proved to be very drunk and was fined, but the brewer had to pay damages to our master, but there was no one to pay damages to poor Captain. The farrier and Jerry did the best they could to ease his pain and make him comfortable. The fly had to be mended, and for several days I did not go out, and Jerry earned nothing. The first time we went to the stand after the accident, the governor came up to hear how Captain was. "He'll never get over it," said Jerry, "at least not from my work," said the farrier said this morning. He says he may do for carting and for that sort of work. "It has put me out very much. Carting, indeed. I've seen what horses come to at that work around London. I only wish all the drunkards could be put in a lunatic asylum instead of being allowed to run foul of sober people. Then they would break their own bones and smash their own carts and lame their own horses, and that would be their own affair, and we might let them alone. But it seems to me that the innocent are always suffering, and they talk about compensation. You can't make compensation. There's all the trouble, the vexation, the loss of time, besides losing a good horse that's like an old friend. It's nonsense talking of compensation, and if there's one devil, I should like to see it in the bottomless pit more than another. It's the drink devil. I say, Jerry, said Governor, you are treading pretty hard on my toes, you know. I'm not so good as you are, and more shame for me, I wish I was. Well, said Jerry, why don't you come with it, Governor? You are too good a man to be the slave of such a thing. I'm a great fool, Jerry, but I tried once for 2 days, and I thought I should have died. How did you do? I had hard work at it for several weeks, you see. I never did get drunk, but I found that I was not my own master, that when the craving came on, it was hard work to say no. I saw that one must knock under. The drink devil or Jerry Barker, and I said that it should not be Jerry Barker, God helping me, but it was a struggle, and I wanted all the help I could get, for till I tried to break the habit, I did not know how strong it was. But then Polly took such pains that I should have good food, and when the craving came on, I used to get a cup of coffee or some peppermint or read a bit in my book, and that was a help to me. Sometimes I had to say it over to myself, give up the drink or lose your soul. Give up the drink or break Polly's heart. But thanks be to God, my dear wife, my chains were broken, and now for 10 years I have not tasted a drop and never wished for it. I've a great mind to try it, said Grant, for 'tis a poor thing not to be one's own master. Do, Governor, and you'll never repent it, and for what it would help to be of some of the poor fellows in our rank if they saw you do without it. I know there's two or three that would like to keep out of that tavern if they could. Well, at first Captain seemed to do well, but he was very old, and it was only his wonderful constitution and Jerry's care that had kept him up at the cab work for so long, and now he broke down very much. The farrier said he might mend up enough to sell for a few pounds, but Jerry said no, for a few pounds he got by selling a good old servant into hard work and misery would canker all the rest of his money. He thought the kindest thing to do for the final fellow would sure to be to put a bullet through his heart, and he would never suffer more, for he did not know where to find a kind master for the rest of his days. The day after this was decided, Harry took me to the forge for some new shoes, and when I returned, Captain was gone. I and the family felt it all very much. Jerry had now to look out for another horse, and he soon heard of one through an acquaintance who was an under-groom in a nobleman's stables. He was a valuable young horse, but he had run away, smashed into another carriage, and flung his lordship out. So he cut and blemished himself he was no longer fit for a gentleman's stables, and the coachman had ordered to look around and sell him as well as he could. I can do with high spirits, said Jerry, if a horse is not vicious or hard-mouthed. There's not a bit of ice in him, said the man. His mouth is very tender, and I think myself that this was the cause of the accident. You see, he had just been clipped, and the weather was bad, and he'd not had enough exercise, and when he did go out, he was full of spring as a balloon. Our governor, the coachman, I mean, had him harnessed in as tight and strong as he could with the martingale and the bearing rein and a sharp curb, and the reins put in at the bottom bar, and it is my belief that that made the horse mad, being tender in the mouth and so full of spirit. Likely enough, I'll come and see him, said Jerry. The next day, Hotspur, that was his name, came in home. He was a fine brown horse without a white hair on him, as tall as Captain with a very handsome head, and only 5 years old. I gave him a friendly greeting by way of good fellowship, but did not ask him any questions. The first night he was very restless, and instead of lying down, he kept jerking his halter rope up and down through the ring and knocking the block out about against the manger so that I could not sleep. However, the next day, after 5 or 6 hours in the cab, he came in quiet and sensible. Jerry patted him and talked to him a good deal, and very soon they understood each other, and Jerry said that with an easy bit, plenty of work, he'd be gentle as a lamb, and that was an ill wind that blew nobody good, for his lordship had lost a 100-guinea favorite, and a cabman had gained a good horse with all his strength in him. Hotspur thought it was a great come-down to be a cab horse and was disgusted at standing in the ranks, but he confessed to me at the end of the week that an easy mouth, a free hand, it made up for a great deal, and after all, the work was not so degrading as having one's head and tail fastened to each other at the saddle. In fact, he settled in well, and Jerry liked him very much. And tomorrow, Chapter 45, Jerry's New Year. Applause.
I just lost my, I don't have my switchboard up right now. Thank you. Couldn't do there.
Don't lie. You can say you weren't paying attention. You can say.
No, I really was paying attention, but my switchboard went away. It really was true. I just wanted to give a Tom alert. Tom alert. Were you paying attention today, Tom?
Poor
just saying.
Captain. Poor
Another
captain.
Death. The toll has to be getting up there. Tom, we need an update. We have not had an update on the Black Beauty carnage toll lately, so you need to post an update here in the next couple of days and get us caught up. Isn't this book almost over, by the way? Just checking.
Let me see. 1, 2, 2, 3, maybe like 5 or 6 more chapters.
Okie dokie.
You can do it. You can do it. Are you learning a lot, though? Are you realizing that horses can have sensitive feelings and think, and it makes you the whole point of this was I told you guys that reading Black Beauty changed the way that I treated my horses, because I realized if my horse were to write a book, I want to know, I want what he says about me to be nice. I want him to like me.
You want to be liked.
Demir's going to be like, I really appreciate the fact that she comes out and she fly sprays me every morning and every evening and puts on my fly mask in the morning and then takes it off at night and rubs my face and grooms me very well and picks my feet out and exercises me and does everything in the world for me. But dear God, why did she move me to this godforsaken desert that I'm living in? There's sunshine. It's 110 degrees outside. I just want some tall grass. I mean, really, I want to gallop up a hill. There's no hills anywhere. This place sucks, but I do love my mom. Thank you. That's better.
I see a new book. I see another book in the offing. I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to come up with a list of books for the next reading here, and then we're just going to have the audience vote. I think we're just going to have to take a vote on which one, but we have to find ones that are, you know, we have that whole rights issue we have to deal with. So we have to find ones that I won't get sued if you read it.
I could just read Black Beauty again.
Oh, yeah, that'd be wonderful. Why don't I just take the 16 hours it'll take me to cut all the pieces out, and we'll just play them again, and then you only have to read it.
Sounds good.
You know,
sounds
we have
good.
Had people wanting me to cut all those pieces out and put them all together into an audio book, and anybody that really wants to volunteer to take the 16 hours to do that, I'd be happy to send you the sound file.
Honey, I'll just read it again out loud because I screwed up too many times in this book. It's not perfect. I'd have to edit. My people would have to review it. It would just be a nightmare. So I'll just reread it in one take.
We have a congratulations to do here. And I got to tell you, she was on with us, I think, what, a week ago? Was it a week ago? And that is our friend Templeton Thompson, because she was on there. She had a project that she was doing to raise money to do a new CD through a special website. And in just a matter of a week, we have to congratulate her. And I believe she's on the phone here. Good morning, Tempe.
Hi, you guys. How you doing?
Congratulations, you made it.
You're so sweet. Made it and beyond. I'm sitting here looking at the page and I'm still freaking out, and it keeps going. I'm like,
well, now let's remind everybody, you had a goal of $5,000 that you were trying to raise through a website that allows artists to do this, to raise money to do projects, because you wanted to do a new CD. And you came on with us, it was a week ago, wasn't it?
I guess so. I'm thinking we have 21 days to go. And folks, I want to, you know, make sure everyone realizes, too, even though, like, please don't take this the wrong way, not sounding greedy by any stretch. I'm freaked out. This is still surreal. I have these moments where, honestly, because it went over the goal on Saturday, and I have these moments still where I just kind of stop and go, really? What? No way. Really? For sure? You know, like, I don't. Like, I'm trying to learn to receive the support. You know what I mean? I'm really blown away by it.
Well,
so it keeps going, and I think it's been up for maybe a week, maybe a little longer. Yeah.
And you have 50 backers, almost 50 people that have donated, I've been impressed. I was very impressed with how it skyrocketed last week. And I got to say thank you to our listeners out there for helping Tempe. We know that you were part of it because we saw the numbers go up after we posted the shows. So
I know. You guys are awesome. You guys, the Horse Radio Network listeners, man, Horses in the Morning, Stable Scoop, everybody, you guys are so cool. And I know you guys out there in audience land know how great Glenn and Jamie are and Helena and Jennifer and this whole crew. But I got to give a big shout out to this herd because you guys are so good to us and you support us in so many ways. So, and y'all, they were the first to pledge to pre-order the new album. So, woohoo! I'm just like, you got the ball rolling. And like I said, I'm kind of freaked because, Glenn, I know I told you there's an artist on here on this Kickstarter.com deal, which is that platform that I'm using, right, to raise funds. And it's so cool because it's a way not only to raise money, so I'm not just going, hey, would y'all give me money so I can do something? It's, you know, you're getting back. Basically, you can pre-order my album this way, and you still technically have 21 days to do it, only this way.
All kinds of stuff, yeah.
All kind of stuff. As y'all know, one of the rewards, and I'm just amazed by this this pledger, this supporter, this backer, this person pledged for the amazing Orthoflex saddle work saddle that I was given to do with what I chose to do with it, and Orthoflex wanted to help support, you know, me and what I'm doing in my endeavor, and they chose to give me a saddle so that I could include it in a reward. Basically, the way this Kickstarter thing works is they call them rewards. Basically, the first reward you get is for $1, you get download of a song of mine that I've never released before, one of my originals, 25, as you guys know, and so many people of y'all know out there already because you've already pledged your support, and the one that seems to be really popular is the $25 pledge, which gets you a signed hard copy, you know, the actual physical CD of the new album, I See Blue Heart, plus a download of the album and plus a download of one of my original songs that I've never released before. So you get something from me. I'm not just asking for your money. But this is unbelievable. Wendy, I pledged to one that's 400% funded. There's a girl on there, you guys. I know I told Glenn this. She has raised $73,000. Her goal was.
And I gotta say, and you're not gonna make a comment on this. I know you won't. But I listened to her music, and I didn't like her all that much. I liked you much better. So I really think that you should have the $70,000, and she shouldn't. But that's just me.
Well, you're very sweet. And you know what's cool about art, right, Glenn, and right, Jamie? It's subjective. And you know, if that doesn't, you know, blow your skirt up, of course you don't wear a skirt. But you know what I'm saying? Doesn't blow your dress up, or you know, do it for you. I actually really love her music, and I'm really amazed at how she has utilized YouTube. It's truly, honestly, unbelievable. I mean, she has millions of hits on her songs, and not just the originals. And the only way to get her first album is to do it through Kickstarter. That's the only way. So the day I pledged to actually purchase her album because I want it, she was 396% funded. So that's why I wanted to make sure that folks didn't think I sounded greedy, but at the same time to say, the amazing thing about Kickstarter, this will keep going until September 12th, and you can still pre-order this album, and this is the only way you can get it this way. So just to let people know that. So you know what I'm saying?
Templeton, stop. Okay, because I wasn't here on that Friday, I want to know, you keep saying this is the way, this is the way, this is the way. Give me the address. Where can people go right now, sitting in front of their computers, to see this? You keep mentioning Kickstarter and YouTube. I'm confused, so iron it out.
Okay, well, here's the easiest thing to do. Go to templetonthompson.com. You'll click on my website page, and at the top of the page, my home page, is a little link that says click here, because the actual link itself is very long. I mean, you can go to Kickstarter.com and type in my name. You'll find the project. Or you can just go to templetonthompson.com, and you'll find everything you need to know. It'll be like 3 clicks, and you're there, because it's a really long link. Now, I can send the link to you, and I know you guys have been so sweet. You've already posted it a few times.
And you know what, Jamie? I actually pledged the one that you can pledge different ones. Think NPR. You know how you give this much to NPR, they send you a CD and you get a book or whatever. That's how
this
works.
Thank you, Glenn. Yeah.
And I pledged for $200, Templeton cooks you dinner. So I took that one.
Yeah, you don't want that. I should have one in there, though, that says that I'll make you my famous in my world. I'm totally kidding, but you know, Cowboys and Indians was so kind to do an article on me a while back, and they put in my oatmeal chocolate chip, my Planet Cowgirl oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. So I could, you know, I should have that to one of my rewards, or make a new reward that says, I will come to your house and make you cookies.
Yeah, that'll be the $5,000 level.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that the $400 level, she'll blow your skirt up, Glenn.
There you go. I will come clean your barn, you know? I mean, so did that make more sense, Jamie? Did you find it? Because it's the easiest way, yeah. And it's so much fun.
TempletonThompson.com. Got it.
That's probably the easiest way.
So tell us a little bit about what's going to be on this. Templeton, you actually have to do the thing, you know.
Well, you know, it's already in progress. I mean, of course, we've been working away, because it already, you know, is partially in progress, because as you know, and if you read the Kickstarter page, and Glenn, I know you've read all this and you know all this, but it was inspired from a show that we did back at the end of June with some amazing performers and players, folks that are dear friends of ours. Sam, my husband Sam, who you guys know. I know, Jamie, you haven't met him officially yet, but you probably feel like you know him by now through me.
I do.
Really well. And he had been saying for a long time, he's like, honey, we should perform more covers. You need to do more cover songs. Not because we, you know, we're songwriters and that's what we love to do. But obviously, we wouldn't be songwriters if we weren't inspired by other songs that came before our songs. I mean, hello. And a lot of times, and I honor this, I totally get this, when we're out performing, you know, sometimes I've had a couple people go, Freebird! That's only been a few occasions, seriously. But I have had people come up, right, and say, hey, do you know such and such song, or do you know such and such? And, you know, I get that, because I love to hear songs I already know. I mean, I listen to the radio, you know, I'm a huge music fan, so I love to hear a tune that I already know and I can sing along to. So the whole point was, oh, well, let's put a band together. Let's talk about songs that what Sam always says is, he's like, what's in our wheelhouse? What are the songs that we love and inspired us? And for me, I'm a child of the 70s, you know, and I love Emmylou Harris. I love Linda Ronstadt. I love the Eagles. I love Dan Fogelberg. I love Michael Martin Murphy. I love John Hyatt. I love Bonnie Raitt. You know, these are people who have made me, honestly, the artist that I am. So we thought, well, let's do this. So then we rallied some of the most amazingly talented people on the planet, you guys. I still honestly can't believe I got to share the stage with them, and I've gotten to share the stage with one of them very often. There's a gentleman who's now our brother. His name is Porter Howell. Porter Howell is the lead guitar player, co-founder, one of the main songwriters in the group Little Texas, and he has now taken up the role of lead singer, and we co-write with him a ton. A lot of our songs we've written with Porter. And then
recently reunited with our dear buddy Anthony Martin, who we knew back from Music Row days when we used to go pitch in songs at Sony Records. Anthony plays keyboards and sings like an absolute angel. And what's so funny to me, and we laugh about this all the time, I'm constantly going, Anthony, I'm so sorry. Because back in the day when I used to go pitch him songs, I had no idea he was an artist in repertoire at the Sony Music, you know, record label in Nashville. So I'm just in there playing him songs. I'm thinking, you know, he's listening to my songs. Maybe I'll get a song recorded, having no idea this man was as incredibly talented as he is. So he played keyboards that night, sang harmony, sang lead. Porters sang harmony, sang lead. And then our dear, new, amazing bud, Michael Deering, and he played bass, sang lead, harmonies. Tony Mack played drums. Those two guys were playing with Gretchen Wilson the night that she was discovered. And and they were on tour with her for a very long time. And actually, Anthony, from what I understand correctly, is this really humble guy. And he would, if he was hearing this, he'd be going, oh, no, there she goes. But, you know, Anthony, like, discovered people, like, had a hand in discovering people like Gretchen Wilson and had a hand in producing, you know, co-producing people like Martina McBride and the Dixie Chicks and Montgomery Gentry. So long story endless, you guys, forgive me, I'm rambling, but those are the guys I got to share the stage with. And then
I've never heard of any of those people.
And they're amazing. They're amazing people. Well, there are a lot of people in Nashville that no one's ever heard of, but they're...
No, I'm kidding.
You're throwing out names.
You're throwing out names like Gretchen Wilson. I mean, you're throwing out these huge names.
I thought you meant the players' names, because a lot of people don't know the players. You know, they're in the fine print. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. And then there's my rock star cowboy fan, who, oh, my gosh, rocked that night. Even before I got on stage to do my part, to start the show off, man, he was singing lead. They were up there rocking out. He was playing acoustic guitar and electric guitar. I am married to a friggin' rock star. He is amazing, and I'm blessed. So, again, long story short, that's how this whole thing came to be. So, you know, we're using some of those performances from that night. And then, you know, and that still requires, you know, you have to mix tracks and all these. That's a lot of work, you know. So there's all that has to be done, and then we have a few more to record. So,
okay,
yeah.
Question, Templeton. So you mentioned some of the artists that inspire you, and I heard you mention Bonnie Raitt. Are you doing I Can't Make You Love Me? Please.
No, because you're so sweet to. No, I'll tell you why. It doesn't fall in that. I mean, this is that. That was like what 90s when that came out. This is like really
turn
honoring.
Turn down the lights. Turn down the bed.
You go, girl. I don't need to record it. I mean, come on, you got it. But No. We're doing
people
songs like Do You Remember?
Back.
Oh, you think?
Like,
well, I want my.
No donation back.
No. But you're so cool. I love you guys. But now we're like, I will tell you, one that we're probably gonna do is Love Has No Pride. You know.
Oh,
that,
good one.
Bonnie Raitt, and you know, and again, I've made sure to tell all my horsey friends and people who are fans of our music that dig the horsey stuff, because as obviously y'all know, I'm a niche in the horse world, and I write tons of songs about horses, of course, right, because I'm a horse crazy cowgirl, and I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't make sure that people knew we would at least do one horsey song that we didn't write. So and I'll just hint, there's a great singer-songwriter who's no longer with us, unfortunately, an amazing artist, and his name is Dan Fogelberg, so if that's a good hint, that would help. So anyway, so, yeah, I'm just really excited.
Well, I want to tell Jamie something here. Jamie, I will make a commitment to you right now that the Horse Radio Network will fly you into Nashville the day that Templeton walks into the Grand Ole Opry to play.
Oh,
for the first time.
Amen.
Oh, man.
We will be there.
Glenn, thank you. What a sweet thing to say out loud and into the universe. Y'all are so cool. Man, that kicked my butt. You know, I've sung from that stage once, but it wasn't when there was an audience in the room. But I did get to be on that stage, the old one, you know, the mothership.
Listen, Templeton.
And I hope it's at the old Ryman then, and I hope we all have to sit in those horribly uncomfortable church pews.
Oh, I know, but they're so cool, aren't they? There's something about that place.
Here's what we can do. We can just break in. Go in and I'll be like, and now, please welcome to the stage, Templeton Thompson! Yay! And then you can just go on up there, and then we get a free trip to Nashville. So I'm on my way.
There you go. The Grand Ole Opry is a radio show. Maybe they'll let ours from that stage.
Wouldn't that be cool? Dang. I know some people. I do know some people. I did get to go. It was at the new Opry House, you know, at Opryland. But
yep.
I went and hung out with my buddy Jim Ed Brown. He is such a rock star of a man. I've been very blessed to know, like, the icons in the Opry world, you know, Jeannie Seeley, people like that. I've served on a board with some beautiful people. Yeah. The stuff, man, the ones who built it, you know, and really good people. And Jim Ed invited us one night to go hang out. He was playing and just hang out backstage. And it was so cool hanging out with him and hearing him sing. And he did his famous, little Jimmy Brown, the amazing song that he did as a duet, you know, Helen Cornelius, and what they're so famous for. And y'all, he sounds just like his records. And this man, and he comes backstage after his performance. I'm like, oh my God, Jamed, you sound just like your record. And he goes, well, you're supposed to. It was really cool. It's like, those are the kind of people, like, you know what I mean? That's before all the things that can happen now in the studio. You know, we won't really go too far into that. But it's like, that's the legitimate artistry, man. I mean, just nailing it from their toes. And I'm just so inspired by those folks.
Templeton, we're going to have to wrap this up here, but I need to know what the date is that this is going to come out and people can get their pre-purchased CDs.
Okay, well, there's a deal on the Kickstarter page once you get there. I've got an FAQ section, and it kind of goes through that whole deal because, obviously, depending on what reward level you pledge, you get, you know, for example, there are all different things you can get. Does that make sense? And it really is explained step by step. The album itself, because there's some things that I'm doing in my rewards that I could, you know, I'm going to send out a little sooner, obviously, because I can. The album itself, we could still be working on it into October. So I'm letting people know that, you know, it's just like with working with horses, right? It takes the time it takes
but
in anything.
It will be out by Christmas, Tempe?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, wow, yes. Long before
Christmas present.
Absolutely.
Yay!
So, thanks.
That's a great Christmas present, along with the cute-as-can-be T-shirt you have on planetcowgirl.com that says, Peace, Love, and Horsiness. I love it.
Aww, you're so cool. Well, you know, we're actually, we've got a specially designed T-shirt specific to this package, too. So you start at $40, you get a download of the brand-new album and the special T-shirt that you can only get with this project. Like, it won't be available anywhere else ever again. So, we're trying to make things that are really special for people. We hope they're special for people.
TempletonThompson.com. Everybody go check it out. You can see the little YouTube video of Templeton talking to everybody and the horses running in the pasture. And then planetcowgirl.com, you can find all the clothes. So, Templeton, thank you so much for being on with us and joining
You're
us.
So
and good
welcome.
Luck.
Oh, thanks. Oh, you guys, before, would you know me. Can I say one more thing really fast? Though I can't say really fast. I know, Glenn, you guys are going to, bless your hearts, talk about this here in a little bit, but I also just wanted to invite people to go to my press page as well on TempletonThompson.com, and you can see the button on my website. At the top of the list there, you'll see a picture of my two kiddos looking at our pedestal that they get on top of, and we play. And there's a little teeny tiny truck and trailer, a little Briar truck and trailer sitting on top of that pedestal. And we're trying to help raise some money through a group called Kick-Ass Cowgirls to raise some money for this little baby girl, this beautiful little cowgirl named Cheyenne. She needs a really special saddle. So there are raffle tickets. Raffle tickets give you a shot at winning the original truck and trailer, Briar truck and trailer that we used in our Girls and Horses video. So we're trying to help this little girl. So anyway, I wanted to invite people to check that out as well, too. And Glenn has been so cool and going to talk about that as well. And I just love you guys. You do beautiful work. You make the world better. So thanks very much.
Well, thank you, Templeton.
I love y'all.
And we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure, and we'll probably play your music again tomorrow.
Oh, you're so cool. And I'll keep y'all updated. I still can't believe all this. So thank you. I'm hugging you both really tight.
Okay, we want to play your song. Before that CD comes out, though, the day before, we want you on the show, and we want to play one of those tracks. Is that a deal?
Absolutely. Are you kidding?
Right.
I would be honored. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Have a beautiful
right. we'll do
and
it,
blessed
Tempe.
Day. I love you guys. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
I'm glad she doesn't get excited because that would be awful.
She's such a boring interview. You know, I mean, geez.
And you know what? All those yes or no answers, we can't, you know, it's so tough when you have a guest that doesn't answer things with complete sentences, you know?
I know.
So tough.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we promised something. You were going to talk to everybody about the... Well, go ahead and explain it, or do you want to hold it till tomorrow?
No, I think we better do it. We promised it for today. We have time. We'll do
okay.
it. We'll finish out the show with this. I found this on Facebook on Jay Randall's posting, and I know he listens occasionally, one of our guy listeners. And this is WICOE, WICOE. It's Women in Charge of Everything Group, and they're proud to announce the opening of their evening classes for men. And it's open to men only, but all men are welcome. And I guess that includes horse husbands, too. So now this course covers 2 days, and the topics in the course are included as follows. By the way, they're limiting it to a maximum of 8 participants, so you want to get your entry in now. Day one. You ready for what the course entails there, Jamie?
I'm ready.
Day one. Okay, so guys, if you want to attend this class, 2 nights, day one, how to fill ice cube trays, a step-by-step guide. Slide presentation. See, we don't have to worry about that anymore because we have an ice maker, so I don't really get in trouble with that anymore.
I don't have an ice maker, and it's a total pain in the butt, and I feel like I'm the only one who makes ice in this house.
All right. Now, I got you think about this honestly, though, out there, girls. I think most horse girls should be able to take this class because I think it's the exact opposite when it comes to horse lovers. Because I think the girls should be taking this class, and us guys end up doing a lot of this. Just think.
Don't turn this around. Don't turn this around.
I'm just bringing the truth. I just speak the truth. Second part of day one, toilet rolls. Do they grow on holders? That's a round table discussion. Differences between – now, there, I got to say that I'm the one that puts it on the doohickey the most times, and Jennifer can't even argue with that. Differences between laundry basket and the floor. Practicing with the hamper, pictures and graphics included. Neither one. We're pretty good about the hamper because we put it right by the bed. We did put it right by the bed, and that seemed to help. Dishes and silverware. Do they levitate or fly to the kitchen sink or dishwasher by themselves? That's a debate among a panel of experts, by the way.
Awesome.
Is the new house going to have a dishwasher in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Okay.
I'm not a third world country. Okay. I have to have a dishwasher.
All right. And this next one is remote control. Losing the remote control at the helpline and support groups conversation. I do lose the remote control, and it's very upsetting. I do have to say, it's an upsetting
where
thing to a guy when you.
Where's the stupidest place that you've found the remote control?
Oh, I brought
it's
it in my
fridge.
Office. I brought it into the bedroom. It's probably been in the refrigerator. I brought it into the bathroom at times. So how about you? I know that Chad's put it some weird place. He's probably had it in the cockpit with him at times.
Do you know what the problem is? Is that half the time he's like, I can't find it. I cannot find it anywhere. I have lost the remote control. This is so annoying. I can't find it anywhere. I'm like, babe, it's right there. Like, it'll be like right in front of his face. And what my mama used to say is she would say, if you couldn't find something and it was right there, she goes, well, Jamie, if it was a snake, it would have bitten you. So I always say that to him. I'm like, honey, if it was a snake, it would have bitten you. It's right in front of you.
Hey, this is off the topic, but I got to bring it up anyway. Did you see the show? What was that show called, Jennifer, we watched last night, the show about Dixie? Things You Don't Know About Dixie?
That's called
on the History Channel?
No, it's You Don't Know Dixie. You have to say it right.
You Don't Know Dixie. What a great show about the South. You would have loved it. Look that up, Jamie. See if they're going to replay that again on the History Channel. You Don't Know Dixie. And record that and watch it. It was a terrific show. Anyway, the next one coming up, learning how to find things. Starting with looking in the right place instead of turning the house upside down while screaming. I'm guilty. I do that. I do that all the time. I'm the worst at that. I hate to look for things, so I just whine about it until Jennifer gets so sick of me that she goes and just finds it.
And if you're like most men, you only look for things when you're walking out the door and you're already late for something. And so then you go through the house and you start freaking out going, where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? And then you're opening drawers and stuff is flying out. And, of course, you're not putting that back in the drawer. You're just opening it and flailing around.
Guilty.
And then what happens? If it's a snake, Glenn, it would have bitten you. It's right in front of you.
Guilty. Day two is starts with empty milk cartons. Do they belong in the fridge or the bin? Group discussion and role play. Apparently they're going to role play that one. Yeah, health
one. Is a glass required to drink from the carton, or do you just go mouth to carton? That's another.
Okay. I
got to
tell
you
that, see, Jennifer and I have separate milk because I need the special lactase milk. So I have witnessed her drinking from her milk carton on many, many occasions. Mine's not so easy because of the way it's designed. But I would do it, too. But then we're the only ones that drink out of that. So we're not sharing.
Well, you know what? It was an immediate agreement upon us getting married that we would both decide to drink out of the carton. And we came to that agreement together, and our marriage is happier because of it.
That's funny. Health Watch, bringing her flowers is not harmful to your health. That's a PowerPoint presentation. Real men ask for directions when lost. Real life testimonial from one man who did. It is genetically impossible to sit quietly as she parallel parks. That's a driving simulation, by the way. Living with adults. Basic differences between your mother and your partner. Online class and role playing. I don't think I've ever made that mistake. I'm pretty good at that.
Were you a mama's boy?
I was, yeah, but until the day I moved out, and then I don't think I think I stopped being a mama's boy. I don't know. Jennifer probably disagreed.
Jennifer?
It was the reverse problem for Glenn. It was the famous in-laws come to the home, and, you know, it's like, oh, really? You vacuumed? Yeah. That's the one we had. What do they call that?
Was he a mama's boy with his mom? Like,
nah.
No, not too bad. Okay.
Mm-hmm. They were thrilled to get rid of him at the age of, yeah, they were thrilled to get rid of him. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't move out until I was like 25, so they were happy to see me go.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you were a mom's boy then.
How to be the ideal shopping companion. Relaxation exercises, meditation, and breathing techniques.
Glenn, can you sign up for this one right away? Right now?
I hate shopping. Remembering important dates and calling when you're going to be late. I learned that very, very early on in our relationship when we were still dating, when I didn't call when I was going to be late one night, and I've never heard the end of it since. So I am pretty good. I call her 55 times now. I call every minute if I'm going to be late, because then the next time she'll be so sick of me calling, it'll be fine if I'm late. See, that's my theory now.
No, it won't be fine, but I got to say my husband every day calls me on his way home from work. You know, it's just a nice, I just like that he does that. It's just so nice. Like, hey, I'm on my way home. Do you need anything? You want me to stop anywhere? It's not even that. Like, hey, I'm finally leaving. Because his schedule is so varied every single day that I like to know when he's coming home. And half the time, if he didn't call and he drives up in the driveway, it scares the hell out of me. I'm like, who's here? Why is somebody here? So it's, I think, more for him that he calls just to let me know that there's going to be a car driving in the driveway in about 15 minutes.
He won't
minutes,
shoot his
so.
Ass when he drives in the driveway.
Heads up.
There's a fighter pilot, flies around shooting things all day and getting shot at, and he's going to come home some night and his wife puts one in his butt.
That's why he knows to call on the way home.
Hey, and the last one. I love this one. It's the best one yet. The last part of this two-day course, getting over it, learning how to live with being wrong all the time. individual counsels available for that session.
Not all the time, just most of the time. And I was wrong, Glenn, I was wrong once, but I was mistaken, so I wasn't really wrong. So, it happens. It happens. And I do appreciate that you brought this two-day seminar to the men everywhere. I appreciate it. And, what are we doing tomorrow? Who's on the show tomorrow, Jennifer?
On the show tomorrow, we've got, let me turn the page back. Oh, we've got another episode of Things You'll Never Own.
All right.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one, too.
Yeah.
Plus, I have word that Darley from Equitrekking might be joining us tomorrow, too. She just got back from Africa. So she's going to be talking a little bit about that. Yeah, so she's going to be on tomorrow, too. So that's what's coming up tomorrow. That's about it for today, everybody. We plain done run out of time. Don't forget that you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. I want to welcome, I've seen postings on our Facebook page today from some of our new driving listeners from the driving radio show that have come over and started listening to Horses in the Morning. So thank you very much, everybody, for doing that. We've been getting a good response to that show. So we're glad that everybody's enjoying that as well. Be recording another one of those this afternoon. It'll be out tomorrow. And, of course, you can listen to all of our recorded shows at horsesinthemorning.com or at horseradionetwork.com or in any number of places, all our affiliate sites as well.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything else, Jamie?
Yeah, of course. Everybody, please, spay, neuter, and geld.
All right, everybody. That's it for today.